Good morning, Shepherd's United Methodist Church.
Good morning.
It's great to see each of you as we come to share in our time of worship today. There are announcements we need to make that we should highlight or share together. Anyone?
There's information on the table in the foyer about the upcoming event this Saturday down at the King Queen Courthouse, and I encourage you to read it. It's a lot of good things going on. Shepherd's has sponsored several things down there, so we are being acknowledged for our efforts towards it. So just, if you have the time, go down there. It's all day long till 2 o'clock.
All right.
And there are some things at the library here as well.
All right. Thank you, Teresa. Anyone else? There's an administrative council meeting that's announced in the bulletin. I'll highlight that for you. Anyone? I just wondered, I was really doing a little bit of a test. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
There you go, see. Okay. I just wanted to see whether you were gonna snap out with it, but. Happy Mother's Day to you as you come in these days. And hope you are blessed by the day. It certainly is a beautiful day for us. All right. Noki's zipping along. Well, let's begin our worship then with the prelude and the lighting of the candle. I invite you to stand as you're able for the gathering prayer. Let us pray together. Thank you, O God, that we have this Sabbath day, that we can come and give you thanks and praise. We thank you that also on this Sabbath we remember mothers and our mothers, and for the call to honor life itself. So we're thankful that as we gather together as your people, we can be blessed to be a blessing. Blessed because of this fellowship as we sing and offer you all praise and all glory and honor. We invite your Holy Spirit to work in and through us. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness.
Why should the nation say, "Where is their God?"
Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases.
Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands.
They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see.
They have ears, but they do not hear. They have noses, but they do not smell.
They have hands, but they do not feel. They have feet, but they do not walk. They make no sound in their throats.
Those who make them are like them, so are all who trust in them.
O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield.
O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield.
You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield.
But we will bless the Lord from this time on and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
Let's sing together. To take time to confess, and I offer you time to do that silently before I share in a corporate prayer and we share in the words of pardon and assurance. Let us pray. Lord, we confess our day-to-day failure to be truly human. We confess that we often fail to love with all we have and are, often because we do not fully understand what loving means, often because we are afraid of risking ourselves. Lord, we cut ourselves off from each other, and we erect barriers of division. We confess that by silence and ill-considered word, we have built up walls of prejudice. We confess that by selfishness and lack of sympathy, we have stifled generosity and left little time for others. Lord, we confess that we have not lived in the moment, and we have let the past stifle us. And we have let concerns for the future to take away the joy you have for us in this moment. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Help us listen to your word of forgiveness, for we are very deaf. Come, fill this moment and free us from sin. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we gather today, there may be joys and concerns you'd like to share as we prepare for our morning prayer. Are there any you'd like to share? All right.
Lift up a joy today. It's good to have my mom here worshiping with us on Mother's Day. So that's a praise and joy. And Phyllis asked me to lift up a prayer request for her brother Robert Payne. Robert Payne's in hospital at MCV dealing with some burns that he received while working on a tractor this week. So keep Robert Payne lifted up. Speedy recovery.
All right.
I'm excited to have my son here today.
Good. Welcome, son.
Thank you.
Nice to see you. Anyone else?
Joy to be back in the flock. And praise to God. My mom is doing better each day. She enjoyed her peace and quiet in her home yesterday.
Good.
Thank you for all the prayers and texts and check-ins and pictures of a rainbow. Fresh flowers.
Wonderful. Anyone else? Is it a beautiful day?
Amen. It is.
Beautiful day. It's great that we have the blessing of this, and I'll try not to say the R word, but I'll just leave that, you know, because you don't want to be careful. As I shared with you, this is what we in our culture and our communities share as Mother's Day. For most of us, I take it that we've had a blessed experience of having good moms, and I certainly am remembering mine today, and I pray that you're remembering yours wherever she is, or wherever she has been in your life. Indeed a blessing. I know that one mom has particular joy. She shared it this morning. Megan had a graduation from the University of Richmond.
Yes, sir.
And Colleen's about ready to have a graduation from Longwood. Next week. So it's a great celebration, and we're thankful for those wonderful young women that you've got. Anyone else? You're being mighty quiet. As we come today, I am still concerned because we seem to forget in the kind of chaos of the way the world operates, we can so easily forget that there are wars going on, and that indeed we should be called to pray for peace, offer ourselves, offer our concern, and I continue to ask you to do that as well. This is a transition time for many. As United Methodist, we itinerate as clergy, and there are changes going on all over the place, and from clergy friends, and I certainly offer those persons blessings and prayers as they get ready for some moves and go through a transition. Any others?
Just like the one way. Just lift up Mary Beth. She's traveling to New York to be with her mother as 94 years old. 94, 96. Thanks, 94.
Yeah.
And it's a remarkable story that she's still living independent, driving, whatever. So
wow.
Just pray for safe travels that she knows and bring her family together to celebrate.
Great.
With her mother.
That's wonderful. Sure. Anyone else? Well, the way you all look today, I'm afraid to ask you to bow your head because it looks like we might snore a little bit. You know, and I guess it's okay because I always had the philosophy if I gave you a nap, God bless you, good for you. But I hope that as we bow and pray today, we'll open our hearts and minds and listen as much as we pray and share what's on our hearts. But hear the word of God through whatever means necessary, but also would you bow as we pray together. Gracious Almighty God, we are so blessed to be together in this beautiful place we're in today and beautiful day that we have today. That indeed all of this creation you give us make us great people who care for it as great stewards and not abuse what you have offered to us in the beauty of this earth. We pray also for the opportunity to come to Shepherd's United Methodist Church with its great history, with the legacy, with the memories of those who sat in particular places in this place, that we might remember those today. But may we celebrate that in the great communion of saints that we are all together as we join under the banner of your love and your call for us. So we pray for our church and for the United Methodist Church, wherever it witnesses and is in mission, and indeed for the Church Universal, wherever we call on the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. May he save us, may he call us, and may we hear the call. We pray for those in transition in our United Methodist tradition, for the bishops and superintendents who will care for those who are in that transition. We pray that you would grant us your mercy, your guidance, and an inspiration from you. We come and share concern for those who are sick and ill and injured. We've shared some today for Robert, for others that may need your healing care. We lift them to you. And we pray for those who serve us in the medical field to care for the sick and injured. May they be your hands and your heart. We pray today also for, in the midst of the chaos, a sense of peace among your people. That as our leaders lead us, they may find ways to seek justice and show mercy in the midst of trying to do what's right. May we do what's right in your name. Always praying for peace, always on the side of the Prince of Peace. You, O Jesus Christ, we thank you that you're our advocate and you care for us in our needs. But hear us when we pray. May we be at peace. We pray for the needs of the world, for the hungry and the thirsty, the lonely and the lost, the widow and the orphan, for all of those in the ancient call you ask us to care for and love. Put them before us and help us to rise to the task to be good to them. We pray in this worship that as we open our ears, and our minds, and our hearts, that we might open them to hear your word. May they be challenging but soothing. May they come to us new but ancient. May they show their own unique place as we share in your scriptures and share in your word. We pray for the moms and the moms without kids, the moms all around today. As we celebrate Mother's Day, help us to in some way celebrate that they brought us to where we are. Now, sometimes I think we blame them for what we are, but indeed we come and we celebrate that they have made us as we are, and we are thankful that you give us the gift of life itself. So as we worship, help us to do the best we can for you who is the best always to us. So as we come, we are thankful especially for you, Jesus Christ. You have given us a way, a truth, a life, and you have become the light of the world. For all this, we give thanks, and for the light that shines because you gave us a holy way to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. We're going to sing again, Holy Spirit, Truth Divine. I invite you to stand as you're able, and we'll sing together.
Thank you.
Before I share in the scripture today, I'm obliged because I'm doing this because I can, and you know. But my mother's name was Mary Lou. She was a Houston, Mary Lou Houston Hunley. She met my daddy when she was seven. He was 10. She was climbed up in a tree. And he looked up to her. I think he always did. Mary Lou was something, and I came to have a great relationship with my mother. She had her father die when she was pregnant with me. She had her mother die when I was six, 1960. And she had a daughter die. She suffered and struggled. She helped my father's parents a great deal, and worked for the state of Virginia, the Department of Education, in school libraries and textbooks as a kind of staff accountant for Title II at that time in the Education Act. And we had a good time. It was often that I would go to Richmond for meetings as clergy, and I would stay with mom and dad and stay at the house. And I would get there sometimes pretty late. My mother would always be sitting in the same place, and she was waiting for me. And it didn't matter much what time it was. We would talk for an hour or two, sometimes longer, and chat a lot. And I miss that. You know, I remember those kindly, however. One of the things that I had started to do, teasing her, my brother actually started it first, was calling her Mary Lou, instead of calling her mama. And, you know, I thought that was cute, and I thought I was all right, and mom kind of like, okay, and, you know, it was all right. I didn't call Dad Clyde much, but I did call her Mary Lou some. And just so you know, what goes around comes around, because now my children call me Steve. So just wanted to know. But I remember kindly those great times with my mother. They were both lay leaders at their church, very active and very kind. I remember them well. Mom would have been 97. She just passed what would have been her 97th birthday. My dad's 100th birthday comes up in June. And they were great to me. I say all this as a way of being sure that you know I am the way I am because you can blame them. All right, that's just the way that is. But that does seem to be the way it is today. But I hope you'll remember the mothers in your life, some that were blood mothers and some who were not. I also remember so well today one particular person in one church that I served in Short Pump. You know Short Pump? It's a little place down, yeah, it was then. I said Happy Mother's Day to so many people. And one of my members, Lynn Williamson, who never birthed any children, said, well, you keep saying Happy Mother's Day to me, but I'm not a mother. And I said, well, Lynn, and she was, many are mothers unaware. And indeed, she was. And so I think about the Lynn Williamsons. I think about those people that may not have birthed children, but they certainly are mothers to us. And I hope you can identify some of those in your life. Now, the last story I'm going to tell on myself is that I think it's a good idea that I'm retiring again. Yesterday, I went fishing. I live on a lake, and I went out to get the boat ready to see if the daggone battery would work. Lost a little religion, but I got it. But I was standing there, and I thought, well, while I'm putting this together, I'm gonna, because I use just a hook and a bobber. I just enjoy it. It's great. It's fun. And I thought I would throw it in the water while I was getting the boat ready, just right there. And it was my first cast of this year. I really hadn't been out on the boat yet. And I took it and I cast it. The whole shooting match went in the lake. Somehow I have forgotten fishing and how to do it so much that I let go of the whole darn thing. And it's a humbling thing when you think you know how to fish, but you threw the whole shooting match into the water. I recovered it, and used it, by the way. But humble though I am, I did fish. I caught some fish. Had a great day on the lake yesterday. It was fun. I enjoyed it. But I just got to hold on. So y'all remember, you know, when I'm long gone from here, if y'all remember, maybe Steve is just throwing his line in the lake. Really, literally throwing it, all of it in the lake. All right. So I thought I would share those today, and we can be among friends and hear one another. I'm going to read some of the richest scripture that there is. We are still in the Easter season, and in the Easter season, we still need to have the mind of the resurrection. And we need to now, of course, have the mind of Jesus' reappearances, him coming back and giving message, him coming back and still bearing witness. And I just overall want to remind you, as I read this scripture, and I've read these for the last few weeks, that we are so hard-headed that he had to come back and keep telling us. Try not to be so hard-headed as you hear these words of the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter. I share these from the 15th verse on. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. May God add blessing to the reading of this word. Thanks be to God. Amen. Jesus is making every attempt to be sure that he removes all question about relationship. He's trying to remove all question about what it means for me to be yours and for you to be, as Jesus would say, mine. It's interesting language, isn't it? We're not accustomed to that language about I am in you and you are in me. Sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? I mean, it's got a little weirdness to it, but it is shared several times in Scripture about I abide in you and you abide in me. It is from this that we get that understanding, which is a very Wesleyan understanding for those of us who are in the Methodist tradition in the Wesleyan way, is that Christ is in you. And I don't want to say this in a mean way, although you could. Christ is in you whether you like it or not. Christ is in you. That when you were born, the sparkle, the presence of Christ is in you. And as the Christ is in you, you may not, as a matter of fact, as a baby, you certainly are not, although I've seen some babies that seem like it, and I've seen some that didn't have nothing with Christ. Anyway, but Christ is in you, and that somehow you become more aware of the power of the love of God in Jesus Christ as you get older. That somehow someone may witness to you and share the love of God in Christ and call you to a life of forgiveness, a life of the Christian faith, that you would give your life to Jesus Christ. that you would awaken, identify, point to, celebrate the Christ in you. And the miracle is that when you do that, the Christ in you, aware and making you aware that it's in you, then as you share it, you can begin to identify the Christ in someone else. That somehow you can look at them and say, I know that the Christ is in them. Now, friends, I've met some jerks in my life. I've met some tough people in my life. And I expect maybe you have too. But as I've gotten older, I've had to be reminded that no matter who it is I've met, when it was and wherever they were, guess who's in them? Christ is in them. They may not know it. They may deny it. They may fight it. They may see it in different ways, but Christ is in them. And in our own way, we need to be looking at them, and we need to be praying for them and hoping for them that the Christ in them would enliven, that it would come alive within them. And one of the great ways to do that is for the Christ in you to minister and love the Christ in them. After all, this is how the world transforms. It transforms because the Christ in me meets the Christ in you. It's great power. In this assurance, as Jesus appears and is telling us, he's telling us in this great way about who we are and how we are. He's telling us about how he always has us and always has the mind of a loving God. That he always will and always has had us the way he wanted us. It was very soon after the death of my parents that my brother identified this, and I had never thought about it this way. My brother, for those of us who don't know, he was a preacher, a United Methodist preacher as well, and we were very close, but he told me right after Mom and Dad died, he said, it really feels bad. Now, he didn't use that word, I'm going to, just because. I won't use his words, because he was talking to his brother, you see. But he said, it really is bad when you become an orphan. Well, in a way, we were orphaned. I never thought of it that way. And we were orphaned at that time, and it's really odd. For those of us who have had both of our parents go to glory, in a way, it's an odd thing. It's a different feeling, and to be orphaned. But there is a promise in the scriptures today. Did you hear it? Did you really hear it? The word was used. It says that you will never be orphaned. I will not allow you to be orphaned, because I got you. I have you. You are mine. I've got you, and I'm not letting go. I will not allow you to be orphaned. I am coming to you, but in a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. We're not orphaned. He's got us. He's got us where he wants us, no matter where we are. I traveled a lot for the last about 12 years of my ministry. Drove a lot, but I did fly a good bit because I needed to go to all kinds of very important meetings. I say that with a little, okay. But I did go and visit a lot. I did mission work, and I would fly often, and I remember. And I've thought about this, and I I'm amazed. Many people complain, for example, about the postal service, about mail service. I don't complain because I'm amazed at how often it works. And it has worked in my life. So I'm like, okay, God bless you. Do your thing. The same thing is true about air travel. Air travel, you know, yeah, I've had to wait in airports before, wait in airports overnight to try to be sure I got the flight and cancel flights. I've been through some of that. But for the most part, I somehow get to the airport and I manage to get on a plane and it takes me where I want and I get off and I'm there. Anybody felt kind of that? I mean, that's a pretty good miracle. And if you ever learned and had a flight app, you can look in the air and see how many airplanes are in the air at any given time. And I think it better not to do that on the day you fly. But anyway, there's a lot. And so there's a little miracle nature to all of this. There's a little something that's just kind of doggone amazing. But the other thing that's amazing to me, and this is another thing that people have complained about before, but when you get off the plane, and unless you carried everything on, where do you go? You go to baggage claim, don't you? And I have been, with one exception, and actually they delivered my suitcase the next day to where I was. My baggage is always there. So today, thousands of people are getting on airplanes all over the world. Literally thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe a million people are putting their bag in and weighing it, making sure, oh my God, we wouldn't want it to weigh too much. And they're putting it on some kind of thing and it has some kind of code on it and it goes through and it gets on the plane and somehow when you get off the plane and walk your mile and a half, whatever it is, to get the baggage claim, when you finally get there, doggone, most of the time, almost all the time, guess what? Baggage. And the other miracle is that most of the time, even though we're supposed to do it in a more formal way, everybody picks up their own. They don't really want to pick up my baggage. Did you hear that? I was thinking about that today. I think oftentimes we really don't want to pick up somebody else's baggage. Now I'm thinking not just a suitcase now. We really don't want to pick up somebody else's baggage. But sometimes I think God calls us to help somebody with that heavy lifting. That's the Christian way. Is that we help each other with their baggage, whatever the baggage is. Because we celebrated Jesus who says, I will not let you be orphaned. I've got you. That in a way, I've got you in such a powerful way that when the baggage claim came around, I got you and your baggage. And Jesus still loves us. Jesus is still the expiation of our sins. Jesus is still the one that stands in the gap. Jesus is still the one who's the advocate with God the Father. He is still the one that steps in for us and takes us with our own baggage. And we need to remind the world that he's there to take the baggage of others, to take them and their baggage. And when we do that, we become even more than we can imagine. We become even more Easter people. We become Easter people because we realize that he always helps us in baggage claim. He always picks us up with our baggage. He's better than Uber and Lyft and a taxi cab and even the friend or the mama or the daddy or the spouse or the kid who picks you up at the airport. No. He picks it all up. He's got us, he has claimed us, he has named us, and he's held us in the bosom that he is. He's right there. He's got the whole world in his hands. Claimed and named as God's people.
It's humbling, but my goodness, look up and smile and say, thank you, God, for naming and claiming me and my baggage. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for this day and for the chance to come and hear your word from this, the gospel. May it be a gospel truth for us. And we're so thankful that you make sure we're never orphaned, never left alone, never unclaimed. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll continue worship with the giving of tithes and gifts and offering. We celebrate the offering by bringing your offering forward and placing it in the plate as you feel led. John. You people, Jesus claims you, Reese.
all your baggage, claimed you, named you, got you. So go from this place as people who sense the joy and love of the resurrection. Go as Easter people. Go and celebrate the goodness and grasp of Almighty God. Love one another as He has certainly loved you. Go in peace. Amen.